Let us have a big round of applause for Janet Kuipers.
The show is called Stripped, and it's just because there's no music set up with the show, it's just me reading a bunch of poems. And I actually set this thing up so that I would have light, so that I'd be able to read everything, because I'm usually always standing in the background typing in on the computer to try to get into the show. So I hope you like this series of individual poems. This first one is in four parts, and it's called Key to Survival. Have you ever seen someone who has a flock of people around them, and that certain someone's just naturally talking, but people are attracted to them like moths to a flame? People are like high school suntanning girls, just attracted to this person's bright light, wanting to soak them all in and hoping that they're more beautiful for it. You see these people, everyone smiling, circling around this special someone. It's like animal magnetism. You can't help but try to nudge in, to hear their words, to try to get a little of that narcotic for yourself. It's like being a child again, with a ton of kids in a candy store, where someone's giving away free candy, and all the kids are so thrilled, and they're all just grinning from ear to ear. With that special someone, you haven't even gotten close enough to hear their words, but you're already starting to smile. Have you ever seen someone standing in the corner of an intersection and they look dirty and disheveled, and you try to keep your distance because you're guessing that they're homeless and asking for money, but you have to pass them. They're right there in the street, right in your way, so you try to walk on the farthest edge of the sidewalk as you possibly can, but you catch them with your peripheral vision, and you see them making animated gestures, and you see them with their face all contorting, like they're having this great debate with no one, like they're having the speech of their lifetime to no one. Because, you see, no one wants to listen, because this is just a madman raving, so you just try to ignore them. You make a point to not listen. I mean, there's a hell of a lot of noise that we tune out of our minds anyway, like the cars going by, honking their horns, the low rumble of other people talking nearby, the shuffle of your own footsteps. Well, you see, this is just another one of those noises. You don't want to hear them. You had a bad feeling about them when you first saw them. Just ignore them, and hopefully they'll go away. I knew of a woman who went on a date with a male friend of mine, and after the date, the guy talked about how great she was, and they talked about their future and what they wanted, and he talked about the inside of her place, but after he left messages for her repeatedly, she never called him back again. Saw the woman weeks later at a Starbucks, and she said she felt bad, but she never wanted to see him again. Because, you see, during their date, they never talked about what they wanted. He talked about what he wanted, like how she would work. He even told her how many of his children she would bear. She wouldn't let her into her home. Does that mean that he was looking through the window to see her place? And she said that after the date, she showered for hours because she felt mentally raped. Poor girl. She saw someone who seemed nice, but it took her only a short while to find out what he was really like. Sometimes you look at people and you just know. Sometimes it takes you a little while, but people can't hide from their souls forever. Everyone gets feelings like that about someone, whether or not they want to admit it. It's not women's intuition. Men feel it too. You feel it in your chest when you see someone good. And you get that feeling in the pit of your stomach when you see someone bad. Sometimes you look at people and you just know. You can try to avoid that feeling you get. You can try to shrug it off as nothing. You can try to run away from that feeling for years, but you can't hide from your soul forever. It'll catch up to you when you least expect it. Sometimes you just know that you felt it. I felt it too. We know what's wrong too. And what to steer clear of. We've got to. It's in our nature. It's our key to happiness and our key to survival. Thank you.
This piece is somehow political. And it is called Get Me Out of This Cage. You've been trying to censor me for God knows how long. I don't know, maybe you didn't want to hear my views because you didn't believe those views should be expressed, but you never knew what I stood for. You never wanted my voice to be heard because you probably thought of me as a possession, not a person. Yeah, I can be a real pain in the ass to those who don't want to hear me, but you know what? People do want to hear me. People value the right to speak their minds. And when people know that if you try to take that away from someone, you're taking it away from everyone. You can try to keep me in this locked cage. You can try to keep me away from everyone else. But you know, I've been clawing at the ceiling, and I can feel the grooves in the ceiling from my fight. But I still have nails on the tips of my fingers, so I know I can keep clawing. I know I can keep fighting because I know I've got more work to do. And I tell you, I'll get it done. I'll be free again. Your cage isn't airtight. I've seen light from the outside when you had me trapped, and every once in a while I've seen shadows, and I'm sure that there are people there. You can't keep me trapped like this forever because people will hear my screams through the cracks in your precious cage. And no, I don't care what kind of cage you put me in, because I'll keep fighting. I'm strong like that, you know. I don't want to hear that you think that I go too far, because as much as you try to oppress me, as much as you try to repress me, I'm supposed to have some inalienable rights here. I've heard what you think, and I know that you think I already have too many rights, and I know that you're a product of the MTV generation, and I know that you're addicted to playing video games. Yeah, you'd rather spend your time interacting with a story on a screen with your precious little joystick than actually talking to someone. But just because you don't feel like reaching out to people doesn't mean that you can force me into that cage again. I suppose if you don't think, if you don't watch the news, if you don't interact with people, you think, why should anyone want to interact with people? Well, if you want that for yourself, fine. If you don't mind giving up rights because you have nothing to offer, fine. But the rest of the world doesn't think like you, and we sure the hell don't want you ruling over us. Since 9/11, laws have been passed to legally take our rights away. You know, to make us more safe. Fair trade. Freedom for perceived security. But I'd rather fly in the face of danger. I'd rather make it on my own without the likes of you, if it might mean I might be more free. I'll look over my shoulder. I'll watch out for myself. I'll do whatever I have to if it means that the likes of you can never stop the likes of me. This one's not particularly political, really, but it's called What the Hell Is She Complaining About? I can't go around telling people about what you did to me. You see, nobody wants to hear it, and nobody wants to hear a girl whining. What the hell is she complaining about, anyway? But, you know, nobody knows the effects of what you've done. Nobody knows that I showered for weeks. No, months, to get myself clean after you did that to me. And nobody knows why I have violent fits of rage, how I hit the wall, rip up the plaster. You want to know what I think of men now? You want to know their place in my life now? You see, I didn't know what to do, so I became the rapist. And now I let men do nice things for me, but I always keep them at a safe distance. I never let them get too close because I don't care how nice you are. I'll always keep you at arm's length. I've learned my lesson. So, yeah, you've had an effect on me, and I've had to bottle it all up because nobody wants to hear the details. I mean, I wasn't physically injured. What the hell could I be complaining about, anyway? But, you know, there are times when I wish you left a mark, like a bee sting or something, you know, so that people could see a welt from what you had done. Wait, no, I take that back. I wish I was stung by a bee and I was allergic to bees. Because then my blood pressure would drop and my pulse would get rapid and I'd fall into anaphylactic shock and my skin would turn white before I'd get to the hospital. They'd try to keep me alive. All because of a bee sting. While everyone else is thinking, a bee sting. What the hell is she complaining about?
All right, I'll get back to being a little more political again. This one, in many parts, is called Your Minions Are Dying.
We seem to have allowed ourselves this fate. We seem to have asked for this, but maybe we didn't know what we were asking for. We thought we were doing the right thing when we chose you, but I suppose that's what all battered housewives say. He wasn't like this when I met him. He's a good man, really.
But it was only after we accepted you that you asked us to sacrifice, and you told us to have faith, like all those preachers who ask for you to give when you're only rewarded after you're dead, if you believe them. You told us we'd be free if we stayed together as a family, and it was like you placed your hand on a Bible and asked us to give up more for you. Don't most dictators ask the followers to sacrifice until they've been set dry?
You weren't the only one fighting for me, you know. You had competition. You both tried to woo us over, even though these two are more alike than you think. Oh, who am I kidding? You both are just like everyone else.
You two were both sides of the same coin. I mean, yeah, you were on opposite sides, but you were the same damn coin. You all want us to trust you, but even though we were harmless, you still pulled out all of your weaponry to keep us in line when we weren't even looking, all while saying that it was for our own good. With you two, my choice was either to jump in and drown in someone's abuse, or to be dragged in by the other for the same fate. You can keep throwing your generalities at us and expect us to eat it up like hungry animals waiting for your handouts. But if we were hungry animals, we would take what you gave us and then kill you and eat your remains. But we're not animals, so stop treating us like fools. Yeah, you had competition, but no one could save us from your fate. And you were all just so much alike that we only had to choose the lesser of two evils. But did we make the right choice?
You keep saying that you'll make us feel safe, and all that I can think is that dictators historically played on fear to keep their minions, make them feel like they need their leader. But, you know, you don't make me feel more safe. You only make me feel more scared, and I wonder if I can take care of myself. And I never needed any of you anyway. Others have come along and tried to save me from the likes of you, but they never told me how I could be free. I never knew how I was going to be rescued. When I was little, I played office with my friend Sherry. We had a little board painted white, and it had little toggle switches stuck on it, and buttons and dials on it, and it probably had an earpiece for a phone on it, too. So we had this little console, this little control panel sitting on our desk, and we'd sit there with it, and we'd press a lot of buttons, and we'd put that toggle switch up and down over and over again, and we'd act like we were receiving important phone calls, and it looked like we were doing something, and it looked like we were accomplishing things. And all you men, you all say you have a plan, but I haven't seen it. I haven't seen how you could save me from the madness. You men are trying to flip that damn toggle switch over and over again, but you don't know what the hell it does, but you act like you know, and you act like you're accomplishing something. Are we supposed to blindly accept whatever the likes of you hand out to us? You try to act like you can save us, but there are people dying over here. We're jobless, homeless, dying. And we're drowning in this ocean of helplessness, and we'll grab onto whatever line we can possibly get a hold of. Is that why we counted on you? You don't support us, but we're supposed to support you. Well, your minions won't be strong enough to support you forever. This one's called We Listened. Yeah, we listened to MTV, and we listened to the rap stars as they told us to get out there and let our voices be heard. Well, we did what you said, because the wool's been pulled over our eyes for far too long, and no one has been held accountable. But, yeah, we listen to talk radio, where people are stuck in their car every day on their commute home from work, where people could call in and agree with whatever was being spouted out at them over the radio waves. I mean, where's the gratification if you can't talk to rap stars or have your voice heard on MTV? Or maybe you could be broadcast on the radio where everyone strokes your ego and agrees with you completely? Yeah, we tried to listen, but we were bombarded with war images on the TV. And, you know, Congress hasn't declared a war since World War II, but we can still blow people up, can't we? Because our view is getting clouded now that we can see for ourselves that war is gory, that war is bad. But we've got those images in our heads, and then we hear quote-unquote news sources from every source under the sun, some reliable, some not. And we've got now cable news, and we've got the internet. And you know, some of the reputable news sources even give us slanted information now. Who are we to trust now? Well, we listened, but most of us mustn't have known what we were listening to. I mean, when you idolize a rock star and they tell you what you do, wouldn't you just follow? And when you get your voice heard on the radio and you talk to somebody that you've grown to idolize and you're busy stroking each other's egos, wouldn't you just do whatever they said? Yeah, most of us didn't know how to decipher the jargon thrown at us, but we soaked it all in anyway and spit it out like our mantra. Maybe we all just followed blindly after listening to one side of the story over and over again without getting all the facts. It was like we were told to jump in the pool, that we'd like it, but we all just ran the pool and jumped without looking to see if there was water in the pool. But looking back, after we've chosen, we've got a more ethnically mixed leadership, but we're ignoring some of our problems to help others. people pull some of our rights away to help us somewhere else. But, you know, I'm trying to remember what Ben Franklin said, that people who gave up essential liberty, I'll get that back, essential liberty to obtain a little temporary safety deserve neither. So, I guess, thanks to our choices, people are taking some of our essential liberties. And do we feel temporarily more safe? And does it mean that we deserve either? Because I can tell you, I don't feel more safe, and I sure the hell don't feel more free, and I can see that pool up again, and everyone is rushing up to it, but I can't see any water in there. And I'm trying to stop this mob rush as everyone is just jumping without looking. The way Jews were forced en masse to run, as they see that the SS was behind them, as they're told to run toward the edges of a cliff. But the SS was right behind them, so they just had to keep running. And the SS would shoot them as they were about to run over the ledge, so they'd fall to their deaths. I see this mass grave at the bottom of the swimming pool. As we listen to our leaders, and they tell us to jump in. Thanks.
This is a short one. I like the title, Marry Me, Whatever You Are.
I have gay friends who considered leaving this country because George Bush was reelected. Hits to Canada's websites for immigration skyrocketed after the election results came in. And I thought, hey, a president may have some problems, but that's no reason to desert your home. But they were sure that after this election, the same-sex partner rights would never be granted to them. I mean, when one person is ill and is in the hospital, the other has no right to actually be there for them. And I thought, if Bush is trying to appeal to a vast majority of people, he's got to be good for everyone, right? I even heard Bush say that rights should be given to same-sex partners, even if they don't consider it marriage. And I thought, well, that might sound rude, but he's got to respect the redneck, back-ass country folk in this country, too. And they only believe in man and woman marriage while screwing the animals down at the farm. But at least it's going to give same-sex couples rights. I mean, that's a good sign, isn't it? But then I heard the Republicans want to make an amendment, defining a constitutional amendment, defining marriage. They wanted to define something that is not the government's business. Then again, they make enough laws that overstep the bounds of any rational government anyway. Then 14 states made laws defining marriage as only between a man and a woman. Okay, I'm beginning to see why some of my friends are worried. One more piece, and we'll go on the political bent again. This one's called Outsourcing the American Dream. We've been doing pretty well over the years, and I've seen you strutting around, showing off all your peacock feathers and acting like the big man on campus. And you know, it had to feel pretty good. I know what it was like. I'd hold parties and I'd change from one fancy dress to another, and I'd feel like the center of attention. I remember my novel release party, and my maid sister came, and I knew that she liked red rosé wine, so I was standing in the kitchen, chatting it up, and I saw her approaching. So I turned to the fridge, and I got the wine, and as soon as she got to me, I tilted the bottle toward her glass, and I just started pouring, and she said, "Hey, I was coming in here to get some wine," and I said, "I know," and I just kept grinning and talking to others and having a splendid time. Yeah, I know the feeling, like you own the world, like you'd be dressed up wearing a red robe and hat, and it looked like you should be saying, "Where are all of my bitches?" Or when I would see you with your black convertible out, top down, and you'd be dressed in your fancy suit, ready to hold open the car door, just like you hoped the man who owns the world would. You'd show up to parties in a tuxedo that you own. You'd give flowers to a girl that you were smitten with just after you'd met her to woo her. You'd go jet-setting throughout Europe, visiting China. You're the one on top, aren't you? Well, you always have been. You're the man with a plan. You're the one who lives life to the fullest. You're the one that shows the world how arrogant you are with all of your past successes. But Houston, there's a problem. You might not want to believe it, but since we've been resting on our laurels all this time, since our fat uncles have been sitting on the couch, burping with their cans of beer, or watching the football game while someone else does all the cooking and cleaning for them, well, while we've been feeling all cocky, thinking about how great we are, other countries have been training their students in our schools, and because we've gotten busy basking in our glory, and we've decided to outsource all the work that we're too lazy to do, and we've trained everyone else to beat us at our own game. Oh, I forgot to mention we were all so busy celebrating our military and our business accomplishments that we gave up on training ourselves to stay ahead. Well, while we've gotten lazy and taken a break for a while, everyone else has started excelling past us. So we buy our Japanese technology and we drive our German cars. We drink our French water. Evian. Naive. Can't people get that? We drink our French water when we're not drinking our French wine, and then we get as far away from the United States as we possibly can whenever we want to take a vacation. Well, I'm waiting for someone to realize that because maybe having the economy fall out from underneath our overzealous desire to get rich quick didn't allow us to see. But we've always been the giants. I mean, we were the first to fly an airplane. We were the first to land on the moon. We're in front of the world with medicines and healthcare. Speaking of healthcare, most people can't afford it now because we've researched the hell out of the diseases we've chosen to kill ourselves with. Because, I mean, fat face North Americans have the highest rate of cancer versus the world. Our kids are fat. And so many people work so many hours but still can't keep ahead. And at this point, we can't even afford the fruits of our own labor any longer. Do we bring it upon ourselves when we try to get rich quick by suing doctors, forcing them to charge higher prices, driving up the cost for everyone? We complain that people who are on welfare still on the average own 2 television sets, and then every teen in America seems to now expect their own free cell phone. Is it that our standard of living has now risen so dramatically that everyone now expects everything handed to them on a silver platter? Do we ask for more without working for more? I mean, consider this. Teens complain about not getting a job out of school, while their guidance counselors tell them that they might have a chance if they get rid of the excess body piercings, or not wear a mohawk, or color their hair pink, or stain their skin with tattoos. And that's when the teens complain that they don't want to work for a place that doesn't accept them for who they are. Our president wants to protect our borders from terrorists, but then he wants to give temporary work visas to illegal Mexican immigrants so that other nations could be doing the work for us. And we wonder why we're unemployed. We get rid of excess building and manufacturing materials, which we think would cost too much to melt down and reuse, so we send our excesses to China, where they build high-rises from our scraps. Yeah, we can talk about how we were the high school quarterback and how we scored so many touchdowns and how everyone loved us back then. While we credit card ourselves into debt because we deserve the good things in life and we train other people to help us lose more in the world economy. Pretty soon prices will be going up and we won't be able to afford that convertible or the nice clothes, or for that matter, any of the niceties anymore. And we'll become a people who have the basics, but not much else. And we'll wonder how we became a third world country and never saw it coming. Because we're on a mountainside, slipping into a canyon hole. But instead of enjoying this roller coaster ride before we crash and burn, can we stop it? Can we stop asking our government to tie our shoelaces up for us? Because, you know, man didn't first land on the moon because we didn't work for it. because I know that we can start working again toward all that we actually can accomplish.
I got a joy stick.
With your precious joy stick.
Joy stick. We started the night with sweaty women and we ended with a joy stick. This week! Later. No, this week. More screaming and yelling for her.
Yeah!
Right now.